Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be used by God. And I thank each and every one of you for your support, your prayers, your encouragement. Well, we all are living in perilous times, trying times. And really and truly, I don't know about you, but you just don't know what to do besides wash your hand and social distancing. But there's not too much more that we can do. And at these times, it's a wonderful thing to have a God that is in control of everything. A God that loves his children. A God can do anything but fail. So during these times, we just got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Take time and call someone that you know may be home alone. Encourage anybody you can, because all of us can do something like that, and we're going to wait to see the salvation of God, because God can turn this thing around. He's able. So we have to keep on keeping on. Hold on to your faith. Allow the word of God to be your strength. And continue to look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. Our lesson tonight is titled, Sometimes It May Only Be a Test. And we're coming from the book of Job, the first chapter, verses 6 through 12. You were asked to read the entire chapter so you could see the trials and tribulations of Job. I'm going to play a song right now, and I'm going to ask when the song is through that someone would press the one button and lead us in prayer, and then we'll expound on the word of God together. The title of this song is Through the Storm. You know, you may realize it, but we're going through a storm. And just like our lesson last week with James, who said, when we fall into divers of temptations, trials, and tribulations, he didn't say if we fall. He said when we fall. So it's already predicted that we will have days like this. But we still can trust God because he's a deliverer. He is the one that can make a way out of no way. Trust him. Obey him. And allow him to lead and guide you through this storm.
Sure to come and go.
We are going through a storm, and you know it's we gonna always have trials and tribulations because we live in an evil world. We live in a world full with evil people, but it's never so much what comes your way; it's who you go through it with. Allow Jesus to be the captain of your ship. At this time, I'm asking if anyone would love to pray, you could press the one button. I think we all can agree that this is praying time. Now is the time that we need more prayers in our lives. So if anyone would like to pray, press the one button. Well, okay, caller, your number is 228-382-2239. 228-382. Your mic is open.
Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Father God. We ask you right now, Father God, that you come in the midst of this phone call tonight, Father God, and we stand in agreement that you are the Father of our Heavenly Father. And Father, we ask you to bring us closer to you, God, through this storm of life right now, Father God. We ask you and appreciate the woman of God that called this Bible study on tonight, Father God. We ask you to keep your angels camped around her and her family, Father God. You say with two or three gathered in your name, you are in the midst of the us, Father God. And we thank you right now, God. You say one can move 1,000 and two can move 10,000, Father God. We ask you right now, Father God, that whatever it is that you want us to do in these last and evil days, God, let each and every one stand up and do what they have to do with you. Just like you was on the boat with them, God, you called the sea to heal, and you could call us, God. We ask you right now to send your guardian angels camped around each and everyone on this phone tonight, God. No harm or danger, no virus, no man, no deception, no evil spirit, Father God. And we ask you right now that they don't even get fooled by the people that calling them and telling them things about their Social Security, putting fear on them, Father God, because you say you don't give us the spirit of fear, God. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God. We ask the Holy Spirit to come, God. You the Father of faith, God, not the Father of fear, God. You say you give us the faith as a mustard seed, God, and you will give us the strength, God, in the name of Jesus. Never let us to compromise with anything that is not of you, God. And we appreciate you tonight, God. We thank you for the woman of God sending out the message to get on the phone tonight, God, because they closed the churches down, but, God, they didn't close the telephone line down, God. And you say, God, you will use the telephone poles to be the cross, God. And you say we can bear one another burdens tonight, God, and your word will keep us and sustain us in the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you so much. And you be blessed. There's another caller that has pressed the button. Caller, your number is 504-942. Your mic is open.
Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We come stretching our hands to thee, no other help we know, Father. But we know you are the maker, the creator of all. And we realize that there is no sickness, no virus that's bigger than you. Lord, we come because we come to you, dear Father, realizing that you are the forgiver, that you can forgive us of anything that we have done, Father. We come asking if there's anyone that has sinned. Dear Father, we pray forgiveness this night. We pray that, dear Father, before your word comes in our heart, we pray that you would make us acceptable to your word, to receive the things that you will have us to receive. Bind our hearts with cords of love, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would bless the messenger. Hide her behind the cross, dear Father, and bless your word to be an explosion in her spirit. That as she speaks, dear Father, you would bless the words to come out with fire like the mighty days of Russia. Lord, we pray and ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you would bless everyone on this prayer line. We pray, dear Father, that you would strip us of all unrighteousness, that you would make us the children walking in your footsteps. Keep us, bind our hearts, dear Father. Bless us to be forgiving, tender-hearted children. We realize that there's a cure out there, dear Father, and only you have it. So it's a matter of time, dear Father, that you go forth with it. But we realize that others feel that they can do it. But we know that you are preparing the doctors, dear Father, with the cure. And we give you the praise at this hour. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for keeping us in a good spirit, for keeping us with joy in our hearts. Lord, we stretch forth our hands to thee, asking, dear Father, that you would continue to cover us with your blood. Cover us, Father, with your blood. In Jesus' holy and blessed name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
And I want to thank you, my sister, for that beautiful prayer, both of the prayer warriors that went forward tonight. I want to let you know that it's pleasing unto God. And here we go in our lesson. The title is, Sometimes It May Only Be a Test. And y'all know every week before I do the lesson, I do an introduction or I do a background on the character. Sometimes I speak on a specific title, maybe Grace, Mercy, whatever. But tonight I'm going to let this be the opening. I say if we take a look at our title tonight, which states, Sometimes It May Only Be a Test. You know, we have to take time and visit what testing is all about. With everything that is going on in our lives today, we may be wondering, is this a form of testing from God? And if so, we might ask God, why do he allow us to be tested? You see, in the book, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word is translated. The word test is translated, which means to prove by trial. Therefore, when God tests his children, his purpose is to prove that our faith is real. It's not that God needs to prove it to himself, since he's all-knowing and he knows all things. But you know, he's proving to us that our faith is real, how we go through the test and how we go through the trial and how we stand up as a woman or a man of God, even when everything around you is falling apart because you are dependent on your maker, that we are truly his children and that no trial will overcome our faith. You know, there have some people you probably know in your life, no matter what go on, nothing shake them. They just keep it moving. You know, that's great faith, and that pleases God. You see, we live in a world of pain and suffering. There is no one who is not affected by the harsh realities of life. And you might be asking a question. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's not one of this, you know, that question is one of the most difficult questions in all of theology. We're always trying to say why God did it this way, why he did that. But the answer is not easy to be found. You see, then you must ask the question, who is good? If you want to know why bad things happen to good people, then who do you consider is good? because we must remember that there are no good people in the absolute sense of the word. All of us are tainted and infected by sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. And as Jesus said, no one is good except God alone. You see, we live in a fallen world, and we experiencing the effects of the fall. I want you to really get this. You see, the sin that happened way back then is still collecting its consequences. I'm going to say it again. The sin that happened way back is still collecting its consequences. You know, there's consequences for sin. And yes, we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. But the consequences of those sins must be paid. You know, when they ate and God told them they would die, and they thought it was a physical death right then, but they kept on living, and because Adam didn't see Eve died, he decided to eat a piece as well. But you see, that brought physical death into the world. You see, even though it was back then, and even though Jesus died on the cross and took away our sins, sin is still collecting consequences. You see, one of those effects of sin is injustice, and it's never going to go away, and seemingly senseless suffering, and it's not going to go away. If we live 106 years, you still going to have suffering. You still going to have injustice because it came attached with the sin. You see, during this time of the coronavirus, we must remember that God is sovereign. So all that happened have to at least have been allowed by him, even if not directly caused by him. You got to know that. Nothing in this world happens. Nothing can take God by surprise. God either orchestrated it or he's allowing it. And either way, he still promised to work all things out together for your good. Hold on, my sister. Hold on, my brother. You see, at the onset, we must acknowledge that we are human beings. We are not eternal. We infinite, and we're not omniscient. So we cannot expect to understand God's purposes and his will or his ways fully. But we can truly trust his plan. You know, the Bible say, God said his ways is higher than us, than the skies from the dew on the ground. But we keep reading and we keep studying, and then the Holy Ghost every now and then come on and give you some illumination and revelation. And you don't know it all, but you know more than you knew. And as Peter asks us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the good news is that God did not leave us here to suffer pointlessly. Yes, the innocent suffer. Look at our lesson tonight, Job. But God can redeem that suffering. Our loving and merciful God has a perfect plan to use that suffering to accomplish his intended 3-4 purpose for our lives. You know, God used everything in your life. He used all of your life experiences. He used your good. He used your bad. He used your ugly. And that's what he used as he molds and shapes us into the intended purpose he designed for us before the foundation of the world. You see, one of the purposes for allowing it is he used pain and suffering to get our attention and to draw us to him so that we will learn how to cling to him. Hallelujah. You see, and then second, he proves to us that our faith is real during the suffering and pain, which are inevitable. You're going to have suffering and pain. It's inevitable in this life. You see, just like James in our last week lesson said, when you fall, not if you fall, count it all joy. How we respond to suffering, especially when we are innocent of wrongdoing, is determined by our faith. We did nothing to cause the coronavirus. And it has been proven that there is nothing we can do to stop it. It's never will come our way. But it's who we go through it with. If you hold on to God's unchanging hand and do what Hebrews 12:2 says, you know, and I got to keep going to the Bible because the Bible is our strength. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, will not be crushed in our suffering, but will come through the trials with our faith intact. Having been tested by fire, we will come out like pure gold. And then the third one is, finally, God uses or allows our suffering to take our eyes off of this world and turn them with tunnel vision to the next world. The Bible constantly exhorts us to not get caught up in the things of this world, but to look forward to the world to come. And I know that's hard for some people because all they can think about is right here, right now. And they wonder why God allowed death and suffering. You know, God got a final destination, and that destination is perfect and all good. And it's a place he prepared for us. And he gonna allow us to live there eternally. The Bible and James tell us this life is nothing but a vapor. But we put all our stock, all our energy, all our efforts, all our money in what's here right now. Because you got to know that this world and everything in it is going to pass away. But the kingdom of God is eternal. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And those who follow him do not see the things of this life, good or bad, as the end of the story. As the end of the story. You know, we're beginning in the storm with the coronavirus. We don't know the outcome. But whatever God wills for us in this, it's well done. Every obstacle that comes your way, you have to do in the Bible when they use but God. It's to tell you, no matter what it is, but God. You know, no matter how it looks, but God. We have to learn how to say but God, even when we don't know what else to say. Even the suffering we endure, as terrible as it can be, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. The Bible says, eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard, nor have it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for us. You know, plenty of times they used to say, you know, eternity is a retirement that's out of this world. But y'all be blessed in the word of God because it is our strength. And now we're going to expound on our lesson. We're going to be in the book of Job, the first chapter, the 6th through the 12th verse. And right now I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. And the scripture reads as follows. Now there was a day when the Son of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came along with them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking from the earth and from walking up and down in it. Verse 8, and the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and shunned evil, you know, turn away from evil. That's what the scripture says. But looking at them scriptures, I want you to see here that Satan has access to God here in the present. Here, he's right in the presence of God, walking to and fro the earth and walking up and down in it. And I guess that's why Peter in 1 Peter 5 and 8 told us, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking who he may devour. We have to be on our game, y'all. Satan is serious. And during these times now, he's going to really pump up the volume, because he know we, plenty of people, are feeling defeated. Plenty of people don't know what to do. They done lost their job. You know, they might can't pay their rent. You know, all of these things. And you see, you got to remember, Satan want to attack you when you weak. Satan want to attack you when he thinks all of your strength is gone. Satan want to attack you when he think he could get the ups on you. But Peter said, be vigilant, be sober, because he roaring like a lion. You see, God asked Satan, do he want to test Job? Y'all got to realize this. God initiated it this time, meaning he orchestrated. But let me tell you why he did it. Because he knew Satan's plans, and he knew that Satan had tried Job several times and had failed. But you see, even though Satan fails, he don't give up. He don't mind knocking on your door when you keep shutting it. He's going to keep knocking. So during these times, look out for the enemy, because he's roaring, trying to devour each and every one of us. But this lets us know. And God say, have you considered my servant Job? I want to ask you tonight, do God know? Well, God knows everything, but with what God know about you, can he use you as he used Job to be in a ring to be tested? See, God knew about Job, and God knew his heart. He knew his walk. He knew his talk. God said, I could use him. Are you doing anything that make God know he can use you in times like these? And if we go to another scripture, verses 9 through 11, you see, Satan came looking. God asked him, did he want to test Job? And now Satan answered. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, do Job fear the Lord for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all he have on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now. Take your hand off him now. That's what Satan's saying. And touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. You see, that was Satan's answer when God told him, okay, test Job. You see, from Satan's answer, we learned that evidently he had tried probably more than once to get Job to curse God, but he was unsuccessful. You see, Satan even agreed with God about Job. You know, Satan in his comments said in so many words, yeah, he's perfect, and he's upright, an upright man, and yeah, he feared God, and he turned away from evil. But watch this. He questioned Job's motives. You see, Satan came back with Job. Satan accused Job of honoring God only because what God had given him. And Satan knows that there are Christians who only follow God for what they can get, or only when everything is going well. You see, he knew that when adversities, trials, and tribulation come, they have a way of destroying superficial faith. When the heat get in the kitchen, you know, Satan said, all right, let's see what he made of. Remove the hedge of protection and take your provisions out of the way and let me have my way with him. And I guarantee you he'll curse your face. And our last verse for the night, verse 12 said, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he have is in your power. Go for it. Only upon him put not thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of God. So when we look at this, we see that God is almost like saying, okay, Satan, shoot your best shot. God agrees. Everything he has is in your power, but don't touch his hand. Don't put your hand on it. Yeah, you could take the stuff, because it's stuff. But look, don't put your hand on it. So from this we see that the rules are clear, and Satan must obey the Almighty God, because he is in full control of every situation, and he's in control of Satan. Yes, Satan has some power, but God has all power. You see, even when God allowed trials, troubles, and tribulations, and sometimes testing, you know, he gave us some word to know, okay, you're going to be tried, because, you know, James told us that, you know, and Paul told us that, and, you know, the whole Bible tells us about that. He said, but let me give you this. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, God said, okay, you're going to have trials, tribulations. He said, but I want to give you a word of encouragement. There has no temptation taken you but such is common to man. He said, nothing that's going to happen to you ain't going to happen to someone else. And just like they came through, you can too. And but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, plenty of times people say, God, don't put no more on you than you could bear. That's not what the scripture says. But the scripture that they reference to say that is this scripture here. He said, nothing happened to you ain't already have. So get over your pity party. Why me? You don't understand. Mine is the worst thing that ever happened. But he said, you know, no temptation, and temptation is a form of testing, and temptation is a form of trial, and temptation is all that wrapped up together. He said, but if all of it comes, he said, I will stop it. And the problem, I think it is, when he says no more than you can bear, when we did the lesson the other night on put on the whole armor of God, and he told you when you got everything on you and all of your equipment, just stand. The problem is some people stand too soon, and other people don't know how much they could bear, so they crash before it gets to the finish line. You see, it must have been hard for Satan to be in the presence of God, so he left swiftly, plotting, scheming, and ready to attack now, and watch Satan go to work. You see, first Satan took all his oxen, and it was 500 of them, y'all. And I'm giving you these numbers because, you know, when we keep developing a story, you're going to know why. But it took all his oxen. He had 500. He had 500 she-asses, And it says she asses. So I had to think about that a little while. Why they say it, she asses? You know, in those days, your cattle and stuff was your wealth. And if he had she asses, you know, the Bible make mention of that. And he had 500. You know, she asses could have many more little bitty baby asses. And then, you know, it made sense because that's how God is. And then he had 3,000 camels and all his servants except the one to bring back the message were killed. Here we see that Satan can do and do uses other people. Because you see, when they went to get some of his other stuff, there was some people, Sibians, and then they had the Chaldeans. And you see, one of them went and took the sheep and stuff, and one of them went and took something else. So God, Satan was working in people to get his will done, to reach his goal. So you have to watch people in your life, and you got to watch who you let in your life. And you got to just watch sometimes. The Bible say we owe no man but to love him, and we supposed to love everybody. But you have to watch. You know, I like to say like this. You have to protect your spirit. You see, then Satan used fire to burn 700 sheep and all of those servants but one. So we see that Satan used other people to bring you down. Satan also uses the elements of the, you know, like fire, wind, what you call that, elements. He used that. You know, sometimes we have storms, tornadoes. You see that the Bible lets us see that he used fire to burn the 700 sheep and all of the servants. And while the messenger was bringing the message, one messenger brought the message, and while he was still talking, another messenger was coming and bringing another message. And then another one was talking, and he was bringing another message. But while they were yet speaking, there came another one and said, your son, he had seven, and your daughters, he had three, were eating and drinking wine at their eldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind. You see, now Satan is using the wind, and it came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they all died. And I alone have escaped. Only one is spared to tell a story. Here that we see Satan use the wind. This was only the first round of attacks. Job lost his wealth and his children. What a terrible day. So I encourage you, the next time you get bad news, I hope you just, before you freak out, go get your Bible, go to Job, which is the book before Psalms, go to the first chapter and read the first and second chapter of Job. All in one day. But let me show you this. Job did not complain. He did not blame God. He did not get all angry and upset. He didn't even ask the question, why should this happen to me? Now, y'all got to realize, we realize by reading the book that God has given us, Job didn't have the book. Job was living the story. But we realize it was only a test. Job was living it. But the thing I'm trying to say is he hadn't, in his own eyesight, did anything wrong. The Bible doesn't say he did anything wrong. But yet all of this pain and suffering was coming to him. But he did not ask, why is this happening to me? What have I done that all these things should suddenly come upon me? You see, Job, this is the part I love. Job knew that he was only a servant. because the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it within. So Job, after suffering and everything was gone, Job said these words, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And we see that Satan was taking it, but God allowed it. So at this point, it was one for Job and zero for Satan. So Satan wasn't satisfied. Satan wanted another shot. He goes to God again. See, he got, every time he want to do something, he has to go to God. He goes to God to obtain permission to attempt Job further. The second test results in the loss of Job's health. Because you remember earlier when the rules was set out, he said, "Don't touch it. Don't put your hand on it." So he had to go back to talk about Job's health, to put his hand on him. Job's wife suggested that Job do what Satan predicted, curse God. She was ready to give up. You see, when his friends came, they had a theory for the cause of his suffering. Somebody always going to tell you the reason why you go through what you go through. Some people even tell you, you know, karma is something. God don't play karma. But everything you sow, you're going to reap. Yes, Job did everything that was right. But you got to remember, he was human. And at some point, he speak of his integrity. Remember, none of us can measure up to the goodness of God. So Job was in his feelings because he's human. And he talked about his integrity to God. Then God speaks to Job's ignorance. And this is the best reading you could ever read. If you go to Job, the 38th chapter, when God tell him all of the wonderful things, and one of the things I'm going to use, because we, of course, we don't have time, but God told him, "Where was you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" He said, "Job, if you was there, remind me, because I don't remember you being there." You see, and after God did that little reality check on him, then Job humbled himself and submit to God. Then God blesses Job latter in more than his beginning. You know, he fell out with the friends and the people who lived around him, you know, was putting him in hell for his sins because it was just too much suffering, and he was fame back. But at this time, God restores his friendships. And watch this. They all had to add to Job's wealth. When they came and realized, and Job started getting back on his feet, and they realized, I don't know if they realized it was a test because the Bible don't say it, but they really, one thing they realized, that God had moved in his behalf. So God told them they had to bring Job gifts. So they had to add to Job's wealth. And then Job gained double for his trouble, even more material prosperity. More, double. If he had 3,000, whatever, he got 6. If he had 7,000, he got 14,000. The ones that he had five asses, he got 1,000, she asses. And then God gave him 7 sons and 7 daughters. And on top of that, he gave him a long life where Job got to live and enjoy so many generations in his life. That was pretty cool. He got to enjoy 4 generations before he died. And I'm going to leave you with this. You see, the account of Job is a perfect example of God allowing one of his saints to be tested by the devil. Job bore all his trials patiently and did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Perhaps the greatest lesson we can learn from the book of Job is that God does not have to answer to anyone for what he does or does not do. God didn't tell you, you know, he's got the answer to you and let you know everything. He told you, you got to trust him. And then trusting him is what develops your faith. This is a faith walk, y'all. Going through how many days we on lockdown, shut down, not getting the supplies is a faith walk because ain't nothing you could do but go through it. But God is trying to encourage us how to go through it. However, the account of Job's testing is proof that Satan's ability to try us is limited. Remember that. The book of James in James 4 and 7 say, resist the devil and he has to flee. You see, after Job after Satan tried to take Job's life and it just didn't happen, Satan left. If you read all of the chapters, and there's over 40 chapters in there, you ain't going to hear nothing about Satan. He flees the scene, and now it's 2 for Job and 0 for Satan. God causes us to grow into strong disciples. Our trials and tribulation develops us to be strong, who truly live by faith and not by what we see. Because if we could see all things, there would be no need for faith. And if we all could be perfect, there would be no need for Jesus. If there was, you know, if there were no bad times, we would know that God is a healer. God is a deliverer. Will make a way out of no way for you. That he let favor come in your life. That he holds back the weapons that's formed against you so they don't prosper. Come on, y'all. And most of all, he wants you to know that his grace is sufficient. So our responsibility to God is to obey him, to trust him, to submit to his will, whether we understand it or not. When we do, we will find God in the midst of our trials. Because he's right there. God told you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if you're going through a trial, you think God ain't in it? God said, y'all, let me tell y'all, coronavirus ain't taking me by surprise. I knew it would be. And I know everybody who would be affected. And at the time of coronavirus, I'll know everybody who have accepted my son. So all of them are my children. And what more a father would do, a heavenly father would do for his children than an earthly father. He said, yes, probably from this some more may accept my son. He said, but I know everyone when the coronavirus hit that had accepted my son. So they became my children. He's saying, I'm faithful. I'm not telling you no people. And then you got to remember, some people who's going to get sick and some people who are going to die, they are Christians. But that's just the way that God planned it. We all are taught that there's a beginning and an end, and God is the one that decides. It's just the way God decided to let them leave earth. And if they're a Christian, they have eternal life. So, you know, if we don't have to understand it. Possibly everything ain't for you to understand, and the word of God says that. But sometimes God let us understand by and by. We will see more clearly the magnificence of our God, and we will say like Job, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Job 42:5. God's going to always let you see him. Hallelujah. And it's such a wonderful thing. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to add to it, if anyone would like to sing, if anyone would like to pray, if anyone would like to give encouragement, want to talk about the coronavirus, want to express their fear, anything you may want, this is our Bible study and this is the time. Okay, if nobody has anything to say, I'm going to open up and give the opportunity for someone to be able to go to the throne of grace to take us out tonight. It's an opportunity that I extend from God to anyone that would like to pray. Well, if no one would like to pray, I'm going to just lead us out with a benediction. And the benediction is 2 Peter 2:13. And it says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our lesson for tonight. And if it's God's will, we'll be back again next week. So each and every one of you be blessed in the name of Jesus. Good night.